Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight. Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18, as I told you, after the Bible conference, we'll probably start a new book in the Bible. And it looks like it'll probably be an Old Testament book of the Bible. So you'd be praying for me as we make the decision with the Lord's help of what the next study will be. But we told you these couple weeks are going to be topical. We've talked a couple weeks about a parable, and last week we looked at something a little bit different. So this week we're going to look at men ought to always pray. Men ought to always pray. We looked at Proverbs chapter 3 last week. I enjoyed that. Proverbs might be one of the books we look at. I'm a little concerned about trying to go through the book of Proverbs. It might take years, so I don't know. So it might be done a little bit different of a study because there's so much in the book of Proverbs. So let's look here in Luke chapter number 18. This is another parable. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here and the others about the second coming and the kingdom of God and things like that. But he responds to them here. I think he continues on in the same conversation about the importance of living in the day that they live in and how we're supposed to live. And let's look here in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. It's a familiar parable, but I think there's some things tonight that we can learn and grasp from this. And it really, the intention is to be encouragement to you tonight. And if some messages seem like they're about reproving and about focusing and about change, and I think that this message is that way, but also it's an encouragement. You know, we need to pray. I think that's what the Lord's doing. If you read the way he's presented, it says in verse number 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end. You know, he was trying to get to somewhere. He was for this purpose, in a sense, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. So he's encouraging them. He said, look, you need to always be praying. If you don't pray, you're going to faint. Because he puts a connection here. Men ought to always to pray and not faint. Then he begins to give a description. And I think sometimes people look at this parable maybe a little bit different, a little bit off. Some people, when Jesus taught some parables, they were parallels. He was trying to get them to understand something and say, this is what you're going through. This is what you need to do. Occupy till I come. That we were supposed to occupy and we're supposed to stand for him. And this parable, he gives us parallel, it gives us a contrast. He gives a contrast of what of unjust judges versus God the Father. And what the widow is doing, the widow keeps on going to this unjust judge, but we, when we go to God the Father, is a completely different thing. So let's look here and let's try to get into this a little bit tonight. Verse number 2 saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And you know what? They kind of go hand in hand. If a person has no fear of God, no interest in the realizing he is going to answer and stand before God, you know, they don't really regard man. You know, that's why we see all these abortions today. People that don't fear God, and they could care less about what happens to human life as long as it doesn't bother them. And if you see inside this passage of scripture, you see this man, this unjust judge, I think he's a selfish man. I think he's someone who only cares about how things are going to benefit him. And I mean, I don't know, back in Bible times, I guess I could have looked a little bit more about, there was different types of judges. There was obviously the Roman judges. And then since he's speaking to the Pharisees, many times they were brought and they were judges of the different people. And he says, look, these are looking at selfishly. It reminds me of some of our politicians. You know, they're doing things according to what's only best for them. They're supposed to represent the people, but that's not what's happening here. And this, we see here in verse number 2 that there is a man here that is a judge. He does not fear God. He does not regard man. Verse number 3, and there was a widow in that city. Now, we've got to remember, the widows back then, many times were taken advantage of. They go through the Bible. It talks about how we're supposed to treat our widows and the fatherless and the true widows and the fatherless and things like that. And there's someone who the Lord is going to help defend them. And that's where, when Jesus is speaking to these Pharisees and he's speaking to this group, they would understand exactly what they're talking about. They understand what an unjust judge is. They understand what a widow is. They understand that the widow probably is being taken advantage of here because she has no one to speak for her, no one to be her advocate in a sense. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. So we see here the judge, once again, does not regard man. Helping this widow is not going to help him. So he says he's not going to do it. See, in verse number 4, it says, but afterward he said within himself, once again, he's speaking to himself, even a little bit boastful, you would think, though I fear not God, nor regard man. And so he's being honest. He says, "Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming, she weary me." So we get this picture here that this woman kept on coming and kept on coming and kept on coming. And we would think of it in this day and time that we live in that, you know, it would be a woman that would wait for the judge out in the hallway. And as the judge walks by, the woman would be there waiting to get there and probably sitting in every court session. Every time there was a recess, she'd be going looking for the judge. And when he was going out to his car, she'd be walking there. She'd be there, maybe even find out where he lives at, knocking on his door, "Please avenge me, avenge me." And it's this idea that this woman continually kept on, and instead uses the word weary. Verse number 6, "And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith." He said, "I want you to pay attention to this. Though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me." Verse number 7, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" And he give a contrast, and we're going to look at this contrast in just a little while. We've got a few points, a few things I'd like to pull from the lesson first, but there's a contrast there between the unjust judge and God the Father and our relationship and how we're supposed to go to him in prayer. Prayer is one of the most valuable things we have, one of the greatest tools we have, one of the things that we, unfortunately, most of us struggle with. One of the things I probably get the most disappointed in my life is I wish I spent more time praying. I wish I spent more time going before the Lord. And that's one of the reasons why we schedule that 5 to 7 minutes in the service. Some people are like, "Pastor, we did that. We didn't have that. You could have it for 5 minutes after. You know, we have get out 5 minutes earlier." That's probably not the case. We probably still preach 5 minutes longer, but that's besides the point. But, you know, some people, they schedule it after the church service. And I think that's nice if people are going to stay and they group together and they have prayer meeting. I think that's nice if they stay. But you know what usually happens when they separate? Most people leave and go home. So, and you say, "Pastor, you're forcing us to pray." No, I'm giving you an opportunity that many times we don't take that opportunity throughout the day, get our hearts variety. We just heard different things that are important in our lives, our church family's life. So because of that, we take that time. And this parable is here. It teaches us some important lessons and just some basic things. I think the Lord Jesus is encouraging them how to live in these last days. They were just talking about when he was coming. They're wondering when he's going to come, when the kingdom of God's going to happen. And it talks a little bit about that in Luke chapter 17. So he encourages them how they're supposed to live this day. First thing I want you to see here, and four things to encourage you with, and then we're going to look in a little bit in one of those things about the contrast. First thing I want you to see here, and we find it in verse number 1, it says, "Then he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint." First thing I want you to see is that God expects us to pray. And this is not something that we leave for just Wednesday nights for those 5 minutes. God expects us to pray. It's obvious from this passage. The Lord Jesus Christ is encouraging us. We need to pray. It's important. He tells us in his word, pray without ceasing. He tells us in his word, "I will therefore that men everywhere lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." So here's the thing is that God is saying first and foremost is that we need to pray. This is something God expects us to do. This is not something that is optional. This is not something, hey, if I got a request, it is something I want. No. God expects us to pray. God expects us to come to him. God instructs us to come to him. And, you know, prayer, and once again, you can have a whole big bunch of different lessons, messages, and sermons. And I think in 2017 on our calendar, I'd like to have a series when we go and talk about prayer because how valuable it is, how important it is, how we haven't gone through it too much as of lately in the past few years. But it's just simply put, the Lord's saying here, he expects you to pray. And if we're not praying, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Second thing I want you to see is God knows as human beings, we tend to quit. God knows as human beings, we tend to quit praying. This is part of the reason why he's encouraging me. He gives this example, and he's showing them a contrast here that this widow kept on going to this judge because she had this need and kept on going and kept on going. But you have a different person you're going to. And there's an issue. There is an issue if you stop praying. That's what it says here at the end of verse number 1. It says, "and not faint." I think it's important that we understand if we don't pray, if we're not always praying, we're not always before God, you know what's going to happen? We're going to faint. We are told to keep on praying. We're told not to quit praying. The indication here is there's times when there's stretches when people are going to stop. And that's, I tell you, I don't know about you. Maybe you're more spiritual than I am, but I think the devil attacks us more than just as much as anything else, and including soul winning. And then those two things, getting before God in prayer and soul winning, are two things the devil does not want you to do. And I think that's why many of us struggle with this. But we're going to lose the power of God if we don't pray. As you said, men always ought to pray and not faint. Because if you're not praying, if you're not seeing God, you know what you're going to do? We're going to faint. We're going to be void of joy. We're going to be void of the power of God. We're going to be void of effectiveness. If we stop praying, we're going to go fainter and fainter, and we are going to consistently become weaker and weaker. That's why we've been talking in our Sunday school series, building below the late baseline. Laying that foundation is so important because of the fact if we stop praying, I believe we're going to faint. We're going to fail. We're going to falter. The foundation's not going to be good anymore, and the walls are going to fall down. You say, Pastor, you know, I don't pray really like I used to. Then I don't see any difference. Well, see, here's kind of, I think, if you look at it. You think about trains. You know, if someone's shoveling in the coals, the train's still going to run for a little while. The train's going to keep on moving for a little while. It's not going to stop dead in its track, but the train will still move forward, but not at the previous momentum. It's going to get slower and slower. You might not even notice it at the beginning. And I think this is what the power of God and the blessings of God on your life, you know, there is a time that God has been using you. You see that, and you can maybe justify it. But for the long haul and for a long time, sooner or later, it's going to get slower and slower, and it's going to stop altogether, just like the train would. And that's why I think Jesus is sitting here. I think he's having a conversation. He's trying to encourage him. He says, here, I want you to consider this story. I want you to think about this. He says, men ought to always pray and not faint. He says this before he gives this story because he doesn't want to give them an excuse not to pray. Because if you don't pray, you're going to faint. But then he begins to give a description of this widow. The third thing I want you to see is God rewards those who pray. God rewards those who pray. You know, he tells us that in his word. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I've been telling you a little bit about this contrast there. Let's contrast for a few minutes and see if we can be in this. Helped me. I hope it helps you. The first thing I want you to see is this widow went before the unjust judge. We go before a loving father. This widow goes before an unjust judge. We go before a loving father. Jesus brings this contrast or this comparison when he says in verse number 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. So he says, look, this widow, he went to a man who was not perfect, who did not fear God, which means he's even probably worse than not perfect, and then he does not regard man. He said, that's who the widow had to go to. That's where you're at in this life. That's what you had to depend upon. But with you and your prayers, you don't go to an unjust man. You don't go to someone who's not perfect or does not regard God. You know what you go to? You go to a loving father. Isn't it wonderful when Jesus taught us that model prayer? It starts off, our Father, which art in heaven. I mean, it is a loving father. Jesus told us when we pray, our Father. So when we see that this widow has to go to an unjust judge, when we see that they have to go and beg and plead, we see that the loving Father already knows about our needs. I think it's amazing. He knows how many hairs is upon our head. He knows everything we need before we even ask. And some people, maybe they even doubt this. Some people say, well, no. Maybe he knows the needs of the missionaries and the pastors. No. God, you go to a loving father. So when we pray, I'm trying to encourage you to pray, and this should help you. It's not like we're going to a judge and saying, hey, can I have mercy? You know, when I got that speeding ticket, the first one in I don't know how many years, you know, over 20 years, I'd never had a speeding ticket. Ticket to actually count it, except for this last one. He says it will be sponged off your record after a point in time if you take this class. And I asked that judge, I said, can I have mercy? I'm willing to take this class. There's something that they told me if I asked for. If you take this class, they'll take it off your record after a period of time and blah, blah, blah. You know what? I had to go through that and I had to talk to a man. But over here, when I pray, we can be encouraged because we're not going to someone we don't know. We're not going to someone who does not know us. We're going to someone who is just, someone who's kind, someone who is loving. I don't know why we don't pray. I don't know why we don't pray more often, because it's not like we're approaching like the widow had to go and had to beg and had to plead and had to take her time to sit in the courtroom and follow him around and follow him around and follow him around. No, no, we go to a loving Heavenly Father that knows all our needs and he's able to meet those needs. He's able to take care of those things. We should pray. Second, and I think that's what Jesus is trying to teach here. Men ought to always pray, not faint. Don't give up on praying. You're not going to the unjust judge. You're going to a Heavenly Father. Second thing I want you to think about is, she was a widow, but we are described as a bride. She was a widow, but we are described as a bride in the Bible. She had no husband to stand with her. She had no one to aid her in her trouble. She was all alone. But that's not the case with us. We are called the bride of Christ. We come before the one who has loved us enough to give himself for us, to make us his bride. We have someone who is willing to fight for us, and someone whose love is so high and so deep and so wide and so long that we could not even begin to comprehend it. So why don't we pray? It's not like we're standing there all alone and not sure if the person loves us or cares for us. We're considered a bride. Next thing I want you to see is she had no attorney to represent her before the judge, but the Bible tells us we have an advocate. I don't know about you, but this helps me encourage you to pray. When I go to pray and when I'm sitting there and I'm praying or I'm kneeling there, I'm praying, I'm going to a God who loves me, and I'm going to a God who considers me so highly that I'm going to be the bride of Christ. And also I'm going to a God that, even though the devil will try to accuse me, there I have an advocate. The Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ." It's that idea of advocate talks about a defense attorney. And as we become before the Father, our sins and our failings, they may be numerous. And the devil, who's the accuser of the brethren, is going to try to convince you and fill your head with things and try to convince you not to focus on your prayer and try to convince you that you can't go before God. You shouldn't go before God because you have all this sin and you did this today, you did that today. But the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It's as if Jesus is standing by our side, and when the devil accuses us, it's as he stands by our sides and says, "You know what? That debt was paid in full on the cross. It was taken care of." That, and God's like, I don't remember it anymore. If we have confessed and forsake it, we will find mercy, the Bible says. For if she appears before a court of law, we appear before the throne of grace. I don't know about you, but, you know, she's there and she has to listen to him, and he's supposed to abide by the laws. Wouldn't it be nice if our judges today abided by the Constitution and the laws? It just doesn't happen that as much as it should, okay? In the court of the law, she had to throw herself on the mercy of the court. We throw herself on the throne of grace. Think about what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Isn't it wonderful? The unmerited favor of God, as we can go to him and we can come to him, that throne of grace. This widow, and this is what he's trying to tell them here. Look, there's a contrast here. And in the world we live in today, you had to deal with people. You have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this. But over here, you got a loving Heavenly Father that views you as a special bride of Christ. And you have a lovingly Heavenly Father who knows all about you. And you have an advocate that will stand by your side. And you have a throne of grace that you can go to. The question is, why don't we pray? And that's what Jesus is saying. Men ought to always pray. There's a contrast between the Heavenly Father, and there's a contrast against this unjust judge. There's a contrast between being a widow, being all by yourself with no hope, to being the bride of Christ. There's a contrast between standing all alone and having the advocate there with you. There's a contrast between that court of law. And thankfully, we don't get what we deserve. Thankfully, Jesus Christ paid that debt for us. A throne of grace is a place where it says, and it uses this word grace and mercy together. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace in the time of need." Where we can find mercy to help in our time of need. We come before as one that has the abundance of grace and mercy showered upon us. We have the ability to handle anything, the Bible says. But men ought to always pray, not faint. Say, "Well, why are you fainting? Why are we struggling? Why are we falling?" It's because we many times stop praying like we should. And it's because we've forgotten, you know, I'm not judged by this world. I'm not all alone. I'm not judged by the law of what man says. I have a lovingly heavenly Father, and I have an advocate, and I have a throne of grace that I can go to. That's where I can find my help at. That's where I can find my grace at. That's where I can find my mercy at. But instead, we look inside, and we look around this world, and we depend upon ourselves instead of putting our faith and trust in God. Men ought to always pray. And, you know, in the scripture in chapter 17, they're talking about the kingdom of God and this happening and that happening and all those different other things. And the day and time we live in, men ought to always pray and not faint. Why? Because we have a Heavenly Father that will respond. Not like this widow, we have someone who loves us and cares for us and will avenge us. Next thing I want you to remind you of, we know that God isn't giving us a lesson about we can have whatever we want. It's just not found in the Bible. I know you say, Pastor, it talks about asking and knocking and seeking, but it also talks about delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I think it's important to remember as we pray that sometimes we get to the point where we're trying to get our will done up in heaven, but when we truly pray to God, God is getting his will done here in this world. It's not about us convincing God. That's what this widow does. She's persistent. She's pesty in a sense. She continues on pestering him over and over. And we have a Heavenly Father that we can go to who loves us, who cares for us, and we can give it to him. You say, Pastor, you mean that we shouldn't pray? No, the Bible says we should pray fervently. The Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. The Bible says men ought to always pray. But it's a different thing. We're not going to an unjust judge that we're trying to sway into our opinion and trying to convince him, okay, this is what I need. This is what has to happen. No, we're going to a loving Heavenly Father. Lord, this is the needs I have. These are the desires I have. Lord, how can you get glory out of this? God, in the model prayer, it says, thy will be done. That's you personally saying to God, thy will be done in my life. Now, I know it says, thy will be done on in earth as in heaven. I get that. But we can't make that happen in anybody else's life but our own. And so when we come before God and we realize that, you know, we're not going to the unjust judge. We're going to a loving God. And I'm not saying that any way is it minimizing the fact that we need to be constant in our prayer, because it doesn't do that. It just tells us that who we're going to is completely different than what sometimes we look at it as. Sometimes we're going, God, why haven't you fixed this? God, if you do this, when we start bargaining with God, we got a loving Heavenly Father that tells us to cast our cares upon him and tells us to go to him on it. And just so many things about prayer. And he says, men ought to always pray and not faint. In our lives, I think if we're fainting some, and it happens to all of us, and I'm not talking about physically, even though some of us may faint physically at times, I'm talking about spiritually, emotionally. And sometimes it is overwhelming. And I think sometimes God brings things in our lives that we can't handle, so we can learn that his grace is sufficient. So when we turn to him and we go to him, and I think he brings things in our life we cannot handle on our own. We must depend upon him too. I know there's that verse that talks about, he's not going to give me anything more than I can handle. He's going to give you something to make you realize that you can't handle it on your own, that you have to go to him and you have to depend upon him. You know, when Moses was at the Red Sea, he couldn't handle parting the Red Sea, could he? No, he needed God. And that's what, be still and know that I am God. And he told the children of Israel, be still. Don't be quiet. I can imagine. I like to tell them to be quiet. I had those couple million people murmuring. Probably wanted to say, be quiet more than once. And here, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I think when those verses and those prayer promises, and there are so many prayer promises in the Bible, it talks about, you know, we'll call upon him. He'll hear us. Praise the Lord. God will actually hear us. He'll show us things. I mean, praise the Lord for all that. But our hearts have got to get lined up with God's desires for our life. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight in what the Lord is trying to do, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Getting God's will done here on earth is what prayer is all about. You know, I want God's power for our ministry. I know that the key to accomplishing things for God is not found in better programs. It's not found in ladies' conferences and friend days and Bible conferences. It's not in fancy literature and finding the right postcard. I get all of that. We put emphasis on that because it gives us an opportunity to remind us to pray. It gives us something special to come together and gives us excuses to be able to even get more excited, motivating, have something to focus on, something to grasp a hold of so we can hear the preaching and teaching, so we can be excited about it, so we'd be praying more about it. And then God can work and move. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen unless we're praying. Men ought to always to pray and not to faint. There's a price to be paid to have God's power. There's a price to be paid if we want God to answer our prayers. Look what it says in verse number 7. And shall we not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? It is saying that we're praying. We're praying long. We're praying day and night, constantly. But we're not going before an unjust judge. We're not going alone. We're not going against what law says. We're seeking mercy. We're desiring grace. Whatever problem you may have is a problem that God wants you to pray about. I think it was Dr. John R. Rice that coined the phrase, every problem you have is a prayer problem. Every problem you have is a prayer problem. And we need to learn how to pray. If we're struggling, there's lots of things we can do. But I think praying is the first thing we do. Only thing, the problem is, prayer is usually the last thing we do. Men ought always to pray and not faint. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.